This is The Drive on KFH.
Welcome back. Hour number two, The Drive here on KFH Radio. Happy to have you with us as we work on Reed Forgrave from CBS Sports to talk about the Milwaukee-Toronto series.
Yeah, he's out covering that, right, for CBS Sports?
Right, he's in Toronto.
In Toronto with Drake and company.
Game four tomorrow. Drake did not help me root for the
Toronto
Raptors.
No, he's not.
He's over the top.
He's too much.
He's bothersome. Max, do we have the correct number? All right. We've rang the room and I can't understand. Let's try his cell phone that we already have. All right.
All right, we're working on it.
We'll get Reed.
This is
the kind of stuff you do in live radio. If anybody that thinks this is a sausage being made, what was I about to say to you?
I don't know.
What I mean? I've lost my train of thought.
I can't answer that. Some kind of your Cardinals?
Oh, Drake.
Oh, Drake.
Why? A courtside seat, just sit there and get excited, but don't pace up and down like you're the coach. I don't like Drake now.
No, I don't even like his music, believe it or not.
I don't need that. Jack Nicholson was a fan of the Lakers, and he rarely stood up. This Drake guy, I'm telling you, it's bad.
Yeah, you can't be that big of a Raptors fan. They've only been around for 20 years.
Well, I guess he's only Canadian, but I don't like it.
No, I'm not really with Drake either. And all of his teams lose. He's got a curse on him.
Who else loses?
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But it seems like
to be the modern voice of the show. When I'm the guy at 60...
Well, look it up. Drake curse. I'm sure there's a lot to chew on there.
When I'm the guy who has the modern knowledge, that's not good.
I'll give you some information. His soccer teams lose.
All right, let's forget that, okay? I don't even want to hear that.
Okay.
Here's Reed. Hey, Reed, how are you?
What's up, guys?
Happy to have you with us. Reed Forgrave from CBSSports.com, covering the Eastern Conference Finals. That was a heck of a game yesterday. Toronto won a must-win game for them. Can they make this a series? Is this one that you think could go six or seven?
That's what I thought going in, and then I saw the boxing game too, and I was like, my goodness, this might be a sweep. I like this Toronto team a lot. I've liked them all season. I picked them to win the East going into the season. I picked them to win the East going into the playoffs. I just see them as a very balanced team with one superstar and a bunch of guys who can be Robin to his Batman, and with elite defense. I'm kind of, especially after game two, something about that game two made me think, wow, this may not be a series. But I think the Raptors are really good. I think the Bucks are a better team, but if more things go right for the Raptors, like what happened last night, they can absolutely beat them. So, yeah, I think the series is probably going six or seven. I really do. Long-winded way of answering that question. I apologize.
We like long wind.
So I guess the other side of that, Reed, would be Giannis plays one of his worst games of the season, maybe his worst game of the season, fouls out late, and Milwaukee still is on the road taking that game to double overtime. So do you think the defense on Giannis can be repeated, or is that in a way a bad sign for Toronto that they couldn't put Milwaukee away sooner?
So sometimes when you're at the game, it can be a little bit tough judging it, especially when you're sitting in media seats that are pretty high up. But it seemed to me, and it certainly seemed to some people on Twitter, that the whistle was not going Giannis's way, that he was just getting the crap hacked out of him when he was driving to the rim, and the fouls weren't being called. My guess is that whistle doesn't repeat itself in game two. I mean, Giannis had zero free throws through the first three quarters of this game. That's not Giannis. Like, that's not his game. He gets to the free throw line more than, I think, all but everyone in the NBA except for James Harden, I believe. My guess is Giannis will be infinitely better, even by playing the exact same game, just because I would assume they call it a little bit tighter.
Reed Forgrave, our guest from CBSSports.com. He does work for other publications as well. Follows basketball extremely closely. He's covering the Eastern Conference Finals. I got to ask you about Fred VanVleet, who played a lot of minutes yesterday after Kyle Lowry fouled out. I thought acquitted himself well, made one three-pointer that was huge, but is not shooting the ball well right now. Is there any, you have any foresight, any indication of why Fred's in a little bit of a shooting slump?
Yeah, I mean, he's in more than a little bit of a slump,
yeah.
Right?
He is. I was being kind.
Really, really struggling. And I'm a big Fred VanVleet fan. I always have been since his Wichita State days. But since that first game against Orlando, where he played pretty well, the rest of his team didn't, he shot, I just looked this up right now, 14% from three over the past 14 games. That ain't going to get it done. Not in the NBA, not for a guard, not for a guy like Fred who needs to, I mean, he's like the ultimate overachiever, right? But Fred does do the little things. He plays really good defense. He kind of holds the team together in a way. So he's still a capable backup point guard. But pretty simply, he has to shoot it better. And yet at the same time, you look at him and Danny Green. Both those guys went all of regulation without making a shot. And both of them came up with really big threes in the overtime period. So I think that says something about Nick Nurse and the confidence that he has in his players. And it says something about those guys that they know that this is a team effort and they can't blink back from the moment.
So, Reed, how would you kind of balance, especially when you get down to the conference finals, the importance of balance versus star power? Because Milwaukee doesn't have a super team necessarily. They have a superstar and then kind of depth pieces after that. So is that a way you think going forward that teams in the NBA can win?
Yeah, I mean, the way we always think about how to win championships these days in the NBA is you want, like, three superstars. That is, look at most teams that have won titles over the past few years, and they have three superstars, and the Bucks do not have that. They might have two max contract players whenever Chris Middleton comes back. I don't think of Chris Middleton as a superstar. He's like kind of the ultimate complimentary player. He hasn't been great offensively during these playoffs, but he's drawn the hardest defensive assignment. He's had to guard Kawhi. So it is interesting because that was basically going into this playoffs. That was the one reason that I wasn't all in on the Bucks, because you look at this team and you just wonder if they were more of a regular season team than a playoff team. But I got to be honest, I think Giannis is such a transcendent superstar, an MVP level player, a guy who is like, he could be the next face of the league whenever LeBron officially recedes from view. And the way the system is maximizing Giannis's skills, it's really impressive. So I think it can work. I don't think it's going to change the model of how to win championships in the NBA, because there's only one Giannis. But I absolutely think that the way that this team is constructed, it's absolutely a championship caliber team.
Reed Forgrave, our guest from CBSSports.com, covers the NBA, college basketball. I want to ask you about the best soap opera in American sports, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Man.
Magic Johnson on First Take today, talking about what, in his view, really happened to cause him to exit. Now they're in a situation where they're just scrambling. They got LeBron out there. What do they do this summer to put a team on the floor next fall that can be even competitive at this point?
I mean, they have room. They have room to sign a free agent. I don't know who would go there. Maybe Kawhi Leonard. All the tea leaves say Kawhi would go to either the Clippers or maybe even stay in Toronto. Who knows? This fan base has really embraced him up here, and it's an incredible fan base. But Kawhi's a Southern California guy, and I remember talking about All-Star games. He's like, yeah, I don't like the winter. So Toronto, you know, I live in Minneapolis, kind of the same deal. Like, you're not going to escape that winter. So I don't think Kawhi going to the Lakers makes that much sense, but maybe, I mean, everyone thinks that Kawhi wants to be the guy on a team. He wants that sort of superstar treatment. And if you're next to LeBron, even if you're the better player, which Kawhi might be in a year or two, you're never going to get that superstar treatment that LeBron gets, especially when you are, you know, a soft-spoken, at best, guy like Kawhi Leonard. So you look past that and it's like, will Jimmy Butler go there? Can they swing a trade for Anthony Davis? And do they have to give away their entire team, mortgage their future on a LeBron-Anthony Davis pairing, assuming that neither of those guys get hurt next year, assuming that they can have enough complementary pieces that they can string together, assuming that LeBron is still at the top of the team? We don't know that he is. We've certainly seen him try a lot less, which is on the defensive end, which is saying something because he didn't used to try all that hard. So I got to be honest, like, long way of saying, I don't know. This might be the final chapter of LeBron's career, and it could potentially end in a very bad way.
Could it potentially end with LeBron being dealt? Could the Lakers look to trade him? Would he be receptive to that at this stage of his career after just 1 year in L.A., which he pretty much handpicked going there?
Yeah, does he have a no-trade clause? I don't think so. Those are pretty uncommon in the NBA. So he might have, ironically, might not have a choice in the matter. But it would be, I mean, to make that sort of business decision for the Lakers, that would be such a major admission of failure. I can't imagine a scenario where any team that has one of the biggest draws in the NBA, especially the Lakers, would say no to that. He's still LeBron. He still has pull that's beyond the basketball court. And he's still, if not the best player on earth, he's certainly like a top three player on earth. And any given night, if he wants to be the best player on earth, he certainly can do it. So I feel like that feels too far-fetched. But Rob Pelinka certainly has his work cut out for him this offseason.
So back to the playoffs and scenarios here. Milwaukee against Golden State. What kind of a series would that be? What's the matchup like? And I guess Toronto too. How could they match up with Golden State?
I think Milwaukee Golden State would be an amazing series. Yeah. Really, it's the past and the present of the NBA against potentially the future. Which, look, we always think of ways to frame these storylines, whether it's for television ratings or just as a writer how to frame them. That's a great series. I know it's not LeBron. I know it's not LeBron versus the Warriors. I know it's not, that Giannis may not have the biggest star power yet in the eyes of the average fan, but he will. And one finals appearance would go a long way to putting him on that path sooner instead of later. So I love that series. And I think that series would go at least six games. I think the Warriors would have all sorts of trouble defending Giannis. Maybe Draymond can do it. Draymond is one of the top three defenders in the NBA. But Giannis is a beast, and the things that he can do on a basketball court are absolutely incredible. As far as a Raptors series, I think the Warriors beat the Raptors in five. I think Kawhi at some point runs out of steam. He's been incredible during these playoffs. That's why they rested him so much during the regular season, so he wouldn't be ready for the playoffs. But when you're playing 52 minutes in a double overtime game after a seven-game series against the Sixers that was emotionally wrenching, at some point that catches up to you. I'm guessing it would catch up to you against the team that's been the best team in the NBA the past 5 years.
Reed, thanks so much. We always enjoy having you on. You've got a lot of knowledge, and we're glad you share it with our listeners. Have fun up there in Canada.
Right. Thanks a bunch, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Reed Forgrave, CBSSports.com in Toronto to cover the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm intrigued by what the Lakers do. I don't see why they'd hold on to LeBron at this point.
Yeah, but they're not going to trade him. Can't ever attract another major free agent.
Wouldn't a team give him a number one for LeBron and more?
I don't know. Well, Ben Simmons for LeBron was kind of the talk. Would you do that if you're Philly?
Oh, heavens no.
You wouldn't?
No, heavens yes if I was Philly all day long.
And you do it probably if you're the Lakers, too. Now suddenly you have a piece to really build around for the future.
I'm not that sold on Ben Simmons.
Well, then that's fine. He's a really good player, and he's like 20. 21.
23. 22, 23. He's been around forever.
Yeah, he's probably 22. I forgot that he missed that
now,
one.
Now, you've had some communication with Justin on Twitter, of all places.
Yeah.
What's the latest?
Well, he wants to say he'll prove it again. He doesn't need to prove anything to me. I'm nobody.
You're the one who raised the flag.
Right, but that doesn't mean he has to prove himself. If he's legit, then he's legit.
So is he upset with you?
No, I don't think so. He just wants his entry to be legitimate, and it doesn't, whether it is or it isn't, is ultimately meaningless. You get chances to be in front of an audience. I don't have any problem with Justin being in the World Series of Faceoff.
Ryan says common sense tells me if a guy is going to cheat at Faceoff, he wouldn't say an obscure name like that. He'd spout off an obvious one. This is why I think every round should be in studio. Well, we can't do every round in studio, especially qualifying rounds.
Right.
And it's just not – listen, it's the World Series of Faceoff. If we were on a major network, which this should be.
Of course.
And I'll sell this show to somebody for $2.5 million.
I'd do it. Would we have to stop doing it, though?
I'd listen, what? If I got $2.5 million, there's a lot of things I'd stop doing.
Right, but they would pay us
you
to
understand.
Be doing the show. But if
you
they
wouldn't
gave...
see me all that often if I had $2.5 million. No offense, I love you. But I'm not going to hang out with you at that point.
That's all right.
On a daily radio show.
If you had $2.5 million, would you give me $100,000?
Why?
Why not?
Why would I give you $100,000?
Because you have $2.4 million left.
Why? You want to pay off the house? You a little nervous about it? You got some debt I don't know about?
Not really. My wife does, but I don't.
That's strange that you would ask me for that kind of money.
You have $2.5 million.
I would never ask you.
Fine.
But would you?
No, I wouldn't. Well, then I'm not now.
Then I'm certainly not getting that money to you.
There's no need to now if you're going to be upset.
Interesting question today on Twitter, our Twitter poll sponsored by Cindy OHRO. And we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. We got another interview coming up next. But here we go again with Brooks Koepka. 4 majors in the last 8 he's won. That's remarkable. So first, my first question is, why aren't we talking about him more? My second question is,
because everybody wants to talk about Tiger.
Is he a golf superstar?
He's a golf superstar. He might not be a superstar. He might not be a sports superstar that's captured.
Right. Is he not a sports superstar?
No.
4 majors?
He's not a sports superstar. You have to have some broad appeal to be a sports superstar, and Brooks Koepka does not have that.
Who are you to
say? In golf, absolutely. But ask a bowling fan if he knows Brooks Koepka, and there's no way.
So you're saying I could go down the hall here and say, do you know who Brooks Koepka is?
Yeah.
And I, you know what? Go try it.
I will. I'm not gonna.
No, seriously, at the break, just go outside. I know you don't like talking to people, and you certainly don't like approaching people, but find 2 people and ask them.
I'll see what I can do.
And then report back.
I'll see what I can do.
Would you do that for me?
Sure. No. Maybe.
I enjoy watching the guy play, even though he darn near gave it up yesterday.
Who choked more, him or the guy, or Dustin Johnson?
Dustin Johnson didn't choke. Dustin Johnson had one of the best rounds on a very tough
day. But then
day
he went bogey, 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 didn't he, at the end?
That's a tough course. Bethpage is a monster in that kind of weather yesterday. And they had the course set up badly.
No doubt.
What do you mean? Who's on the phone here? Here's Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hey, I enjoyed Jeff's comment about go find a bowling fan and see if they know Brooks Koepka. Not only am I a bowling fan, I'm the head bowling coach at the high school I teach at, and I know and love Brooks Koepka. I think he's an awesome golfer.
I couldn't tell you who the best bowler on the PBA Tour is now.
E.J. Tackett, my man, E.J. Tackett.
He's not the best. Jason Belmonte is the best. Wes Mallett is the best.
I've never heard of any of
Tackett's
those people.
Number two in the world. Belmonte is number one in the world. I'll give you that. But I think E.J. Tackett's a better bowler.
How good is that? I named the number one bowler, my only guess.
And you should. And you should. For somebody who's trying to sell a radio talk show for $2.5 million, you should know who the best bowler in the world is. And that's why I was going to tell you guys, we had a trivia question in my class the other day. We were talking about the highest paid television personalities, and Judge Judy last year made $147 million because when she sold the rights to her TV show, she stipulated in the contract that she would remain on as the personality. And that's what you guys need to do. Sell it for your $2.5 million, but stipulate in the contract that only you can be the host of The Drive.
Ooh, I
like it, Phil. I'm going to take
that to my... Because nobody can do it like you, Bob.
I'm going to take that to my agent.
Phil, shut up. Anyway,
why? Phil's right.
Phil's trying to tweak me.
He's right. Let's get Andrew quickly. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Mulvane graduate. You sound older, Andrew.
Oh, man. I'm so excited. What a great weekend. I had a great time. But I just want to tell you, I was scrolling through Twitter this morning, and I found this new article about Mulvane baseball written by Mr. Hayden Barber. It's a great article. You guys should go check it out. It was really cool reading it and seeing like the story that they had and how they played it all out. And, you know, me as a journalist, I was very, very happy to see this article, and I think you all would love it. But, you know, me graduating and everything, what a great weekend. And I have state baseball this weekend. So
I can't wait, Andrew.
Big weekend.
Let's hope the rain doesn't interfere. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, and you guys should watch it on the live stream. Watch it on KCAT.
If I have some time, I definitely will. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, you guys have a great day.
All right, we need a break. When we return, we'll talk some state baseball with Derby coach Todd Olmstead. That's next on The Drive. Stay with us.